So let's have some hymns. And these have come from the Celebration Choir, the Salvation Army. The first is Near the Cross, and then the second is Close to Thee.
Oh,
close to thee. The promise of God's love for us, always ready there to be close to us. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can be? My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. Amazing love. How great the sound. Now let's continue on with, something that we've sung before. It's called Once Again.
I'm humbled by your mercy.
Once again, I thank you for the cross. Well, good morning to all, and we're in the Homeward League. This is the second hour of Songs of Hope, a program of Christian music brought to you by the Combined Churches of Kingston and the Combined Churches of Glen Ira, and a motley crew of presenters, I might say. Let's continue on with some music in a moment, but first, I should let you know what sort of weather we're coming up with. Today, we've got a maximum of 18. 18. A maximum of 18 and a minimum of 8. And the forecast is set as being partly cloudy, isolated showers, clearing late afternoon or evening. Winds west to southwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, tending south to southwesterly and becoming light in the afternoon. And it's going to be a pretty ordinary day, I've got to tell you. 60% chance of rain and stay at home today. Well, let's continue on with some music, and we might have some music locally produced. This is a song from Bayside Church, which is to be found in Arcus Street, Cheltenham, and they are just an awesome church, let me tell you. Participants in all sorts of community projects, one of which, of course, is Matt's Place. Matt's Place being a community meals project by the Combined Churches of Cheltenham and the Combined Churches of Chelsea. The reason that it's that way is because there's community meals are served on Tuesdays at Chelsea and Thursdays at Cheltenham. Anyway, Bayside are a power behind that. We thank them for all of their work. Let's enjoy now some of their music.
See your face.
Sing of your love forever.
All of the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Yeah, I can sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. Yeah, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, we will dance with joy like we're dancing. I could sing of your love forever. 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 I could sing of your love.
Music, information, local news, radio drama. All part of the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
Just remember that music is not noise. There are times I've got to be persuaded of that sometimes. And we'll continue on with some music, this time perhaps a little more current. Pete Sanchez. Now, there are some that would say that's almost as old as the hymns we've just heard, but he's going to lead us in, or sing to us, I Exalt Thee, and then there's a wonderful song by Twyla Paris called He Is Exalted. Trust you're enjoying the music this morning. He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. Let's continue to lift up the one who is exalted with this very, very beautiful song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, from the Maranatha Singers.
I guess I'm not the slimmest person in the world, but then again, I don't think I'm overweight. I mean, we can't all be the same size as a catwalk model, so how do I tell what's a healthy weight for me?
One way to check your weight is to calculate your body mass index, or BMI. To do this, you need to divide your weight, measured in kilograms, by your height, measured in meters squared. So, if you are 80 kilograms and 1.8 metres tall, then you need to divide 80 by 1.8 times 1.8. If the result, your BMI, is between 18.5 and 24.9, then you are in a healthy weight range. A BMI of 25 or over means you are overweight, and if it is greater than 30, you are classed as obese. Remember that BMI is simply a guide, and it's best to check with your doctor or accredited practicing dietitian if you're at all concerned about your body weight.
This program is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing.
Reaching into your community, the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
I always have mixed feelings when I hear that community announcement about BMI. Because the church that I pastor is open to a Christian church and it belongs to BMI. Well, that's what we call it anyway. BMI for us is Bethesda Ministries International, and that's a bunch of Pentecostal churches that hang out together and worship the Lord and do great things, actually, both here and overseas. Anyway, enough BMI. Let's continue on with music. This is a man by the name of Eli. I don't play him all that much. I probably should play him more than I do. Two songs from him, King of the Hill and God Weeps Too.
Seem foolish, but It's as if no one ever cared. Soldiers mock me with their songs, and they laugh because I'm naked and I'm weak. Well, I don't know how much longer I can go on, when every breath I take is just to weep. Moment, time stood still to listen to the king of the hill. All the angels just stood still to listen to the king of the hill. I could have had servants, and I could have ruled this world as their king. And I could have had wealth beyond measure. Well, I could have had anything, but it wouldn't have meant anything. Not my will, but yours be done. I had no agenda, only your truth. You were so proud to call me son. Now, Father, I commit my soul to you. Moment, time stood still to listen to the king of the hill. And I can hear you whisper still, Father, I'm the king of the hill.
Two jobs instead of going to school. I know it hurt you as a child, but please remember all the while that God weeps too. And this is for the widow who now must sleep alone, when the memory of a kiss will have to do. Every night when she lay down, you can almost hear the sound when God weeps too. God weeps too. God weeps too. Though we question Him for all that we go through, still it helps me believe, and my pain it does relieve when I think that God weeps too. God weeps too. And for every survivor of the wickedness of man, whether you're a black man or a Jew, some people kill in Jesus' name, but He is not the one to blame. 'Cause even
God weeps too. About it, but God weeps too, and I never really thought about it, not that much about it, but God weeps too.
Indeed, tears can be a beneficial thing. About this time, Rod Carr brings to us an account of Christians Have Made a Difference, and this is a story of a man whose tears changed his thinking in a lot of areas and brought change actually to a whole nation. The man to whom I refer is a man by the name of Charles Grant. He lived from 1746 to 1823, and his life is relayed to us, or part of his life is relayed to us in a book by an Indian gentleman by the name of Vishal Mangalwadi, and Vishal Mangalwadi is a story in himself, but he has a passion for, not just for the gospel, but for the difference that the gospel has made in the nation of India. And Vishal Mangalwadi tells us that the Indian government education records begin with extensive quotations from Charles Grant. He arrived in Bengal in 1768 at the age of 22, just as the devastating famine of 1769 to 1770 killed millions. That famine motivated Grant to reform British administration, to transform the Indian mind, agriculture, industry and economy. Those secular goals, acceptable to non-Christians, were inspired by Grant's biblical worldview. He saw education as a foundation for his goals because India's secular problems emanated from its religious worldviews. Transforming India's economic culture required transforming its religious presuppositions. Grant came to India as a secular, penniless young man to make money. He saw the corruption, misrule that enriched some Englishmen but destroyed Bengal's economy. Within this corruption, Grant saw Richard Beckner, his Christian supervisor and boss and employer, feed up to, listen now, 7,000 people every day in Murshidabad, exerting, as Grant himself wrote, every nerve to alleviate the sufferings of the famine-stricken people. Later in Calcutta, a personal tragedy, the death of his two daughters, forced Grant to address the questions of life and eternity. He became a Christian and met two other men to study the Bible and pray. The Bible did not give them philosophical speculations or absentee, distant creator, but rather it revealed a God intimately involved in human history. Jesus' mission to inaugurate God's kingdom for the poor was radically different from Grant's and his company's mission to make money in India. Studying the Bible, Grant enabled Grant to make God's mission his own. God's word, as Grant concluded, required realigning the British mission with God's purposes for India. In September 17, 1787, Grant sent his famous appeal for missions to 14 public figures in Britain. There was little response, and it was not until 1790 that Grant returned to England, disappointed that his appeal for missions seemed to have gone unheeded, that he eventually found a friend in William Wilberforce, an evangelical and member of Parliament. Wilberforce had received Grant's appeal for India when he was sick. With his encouragement, Grant wrote his rationale for missions. It was called Observations on the State of Society Among the Asiatic Subjects of Great Britain, particularly with respect to morals and the means of improving it, written chiefly in the year 1792. Though not formally published until 1797, Grant's book was the acknowledged background of the Parliament's 1793 debate on missions. In 1812, Parliament ordered it published as a state paper as the best source of information on India. Grant's argument for mission and education were inseparably intertwined. In those days, the walls separating church and state and education were not yet in place. His arguments triggered a movement that enabled India to become one of the world's leading centres for education. In fact, it's a very beautiful thing. Sometimes I travel to India, and the extent of commitment to education in that place is just astounding. The things that the students will do in order to better themselves because they know that education is so profoundly important. And I find it amusing, actually, when I see the conditions that many Indian students study under and contrast them with that which our Australian students endure or have. I'm just astounded at how short-sighted sometimes our Australian students are. If they worked half as hard as the Indian students do, we would be a much cleverer people than we are. It's interesting to note, too, that Charles Grant's paper was a means for the government to improve its relationships with India. And the relationship between church and state is always a vexed one. And reading of Charles Grant reminds me of my own friend Brian Grasby. Brian has a fantastic work involved in southern Sudan. And recently there was an Australian by the name of, from memory, Michael Hunt, who was taken captive by rebels in Sudan. And it transpired that the only one who knew anything about what was going on in Sudan was Brian, because he had been coming and going to Sudan so many times. And our Australian government looked to him or relied on him for information in terms of how to get Mr. Hunt free. And in fact, it was through Brian's assistance that he was freed, because Brian knew the people who were in authority in southern Sudan who could help. So both with Charles Grant and with my friend Brian Grasby, we find that missions work has been an aid to government. In Grant's case, an aid to government that gave a current picture as to what was happening in India, and in Brian's case, an aid that would allow the government to set free an Australian citizen. 8:53, Christians Who've Made a Difference. You're listening to Southern FM.
Music, information, local news, radio drama. All part of the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
Mom's away, I heard you say, away we'll throw. Siren sound, I hit the ground while standing true. Wish you the best and then turn around, keeping composure as my heart falls down. I've been searching for the perfect line, something to make you just change your mind. All this trying, I'm wasting my time. Best to surrender, let her go. Maybe she'll come back, I don't know. Artillery exploding me. Now we're through. Tanks they roll over my soul. Thinking of you, wish you the best. Now you're not around. Losing composure as my heart falls down.